Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the I Love Authorpreneurs campaign. Now let's introduce our host, Sharon C. Jenkins, the Master Communicator.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to one of our evening sessions. We have the distinct pleasure of talking with Tom Bluglaw, and I am so excited because he's one of my friends. Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm fine, Sharon. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. Where are you? Because we've already been to Iowa, we've been to California today. Where are you located?
I'm in southwest Missouri, about an hour north of Branson.
Ah, okay. Very good, very good. Now, I understand you were raised in a small town in southeast Kansas. Am I right?
That's correct. Independence, Kansas.
Independence, Kansas. Okay. And then you started out your literary career writing poetry at the age of 14. Did you fall in love or something?
Well, you know, you might say that, Sharon. I was a very bashful young man, and I didn't know how to talk to girls, so I wrote poems to them if I liked them, and they were a big hit.
Well, you know, we have something in common, something else in common, because I was a little dorky girl who didn't participate in sports and didn't really have any real talent, but I started writing love letters for my peers, and I became an instant hit myself. So I can relate to that.
That's good.
I understand you also self-published your first book, Behind the Scenes of the Bus Ministry, in 1974. Tell me a little bit about that book and why you decided to graduate from poetry to actually writing a nonfiction book.
Well, it's kind of a crazy story in a way. I became a Christian in 1970, and I felt the Lord calling me to minister. So I went to Bible college, and that book was the product of two term papers that I wrote, one for Christian education and one for, I think, writing composition. And I was working with churches and helping them start bus ministry in the Kansas City area, and I developed a seminar, and so I published that book to sell or hand out in those seminars. And that's how that came about.
Wow, wow. I remember when I went to Victory Christian Center in Tulsa, they had this huge bus ministry. And I remember the effectiveness of that particular ministry. So hats off to you. And I understand that you've written articles for denominational and business magazines from 1975 through 1995. That's 20 years.
Yes, it is. And I love to write, and I had a lot of things to say. And I was really concerned. I was also selling church insurance, and I was kind of tired of pastors living in parsonages that were owned by the church. And I had a couple of situations where friends passed away, and the deacons in the church then had to go to the widow at some point and tell her she and the kids had to move out. And so that kind of put me on a mission working with churches. And I was kind of a champion for the pastors.
Okay. And you've also co-written a book called The Great Adventure. Tell us a little bit about your great adventure as an authorpreneur.
Oh, wow. I don't know where to start exactly on that one, Sharon. Like I say, I've written as long as I can remember. My dream when I was writing poetry was to submit poetry that would be lyrics for Elvis Presley and all the rock and roll icons, Little Richard, and those guys back in the day. And that didn't fly because everybody wanted money to publish my poems. And I kind of thought they were good enough that they would pay me. It didn't work out that way. And I didn't do anything really from probably about age 18 to age 25. And I was going to community college in Kansas City in the evenings. And I took a English composition course. And the thing that really caused me to fall in love with writing even more was a young professor of the University of Kansas who made the statement one night that writing is communication, and if you have to say, I ain't never had no bananas and I ain't going to have none ever never to communicate with the person, that was communication. And after the class, I said, where have you been all my life? And he's the first one who told me just to write like you talk. And I've been doing that ever since.
You know, that's great advice. I hope a lot of aspiring writers are listening simply because they get caught up in the advice of seasoned entrepreneurs. Because I've been in education, I recognize you have to start where you are and build yourself up to a certain momentum in order to accomplish your goals. So I'm very glad that that person was there for you in the midst of your journey. Now, you've also written another book that was bound by Faith Publishers. Tell us a little bit about your first fiction book.
That book is about my grandfather who died before I was born. He died in the hospital where I was born about 11 months previous, so we just missed connections. And my grandmother had a picture of him in her living room, and I would sit there every time I visited her and would study him, and regretting that I didn't know him. And so I started gathering as much information as I could, which wasn't much, but I guess I came to the point where I wanted to leave a legacy for my children and grandchildren about him. And so I started researching the area of Russia where he was born, actually in Georgia on the east coast of the Black Sea. And the little bit of information I had was in tune with what I was reading in Russian history. And so I just created him and wrote the book and delivered it to my children and grandchildren. And now they have a great grandfather and a grandfather that they never had before.
What a gift. I think a lot of times we sacrifice leaving a literary legacy because of the busyness in the world. Any advice for entrepreneurs who desire to leave a literary legacy for their loved ones?
Oh, the thing I would say is ask questions while the person is living. Get direct information from him or her. Take notes, even record them. I recorded an aunt. She was the last living relative on my mother's side, and I have a two-hour tape of her that I'll treasure forever. Even though she had the beginning stages of dementia, she had a wealth of information. And I can't tell you to start too soon because time goes by, you can put it off, and then as people die, you suddenly realize that you don't know anything about them, or very little.
And I understand you're married to the beautiful Barbara, and you have 6 children and 14 grandchildren. What is it like having so many people in your family?
Chaos. Right now,
it gives you good stuff to put in books, I'm sure.
Right. Well, we have 7 granddaughters, and they're all teenagers now. And so we have activities going on at different schools at the same time. So we just can't get to everything. We have a 10-year-old that's playing basketball now. So we've been getting up on Saturday mornings and watching him learn the game of basketball. We have one young lady who's in the top debate students in the nation. It's just a blast.
So I'm curious, you've been a public speaker for 40 years. Looking at your picture, you don't look a day over 50. What's going on with that?
Wow, thank you very much. I'll send you a check after the program. But I turned 73 the 2nd of this month, and I feel young. I do a lot of things. I'm very busy consulting with authors, helping them get their books in the hands of readers. I don't know. I just got a very creative, active mind. I'm a workaholic. I'm a night owl. I just don't know how to quit. Don't want to quit.
Wow, wow. And we don't want you to quit. We really don't want you to quit. Now, tell me what a literary strategist is, because that's what you are. So I think you're the best person to explain what that is. So share that with our listening audience, please.
Okay, a literary strategist is one who plans moves in a war, wartime strategies, because the authors are in a war. There's heavy competition worldwide. The publishing industry has changed tremendously in the last 4 years. I talk to authors every day that are lost in the mix, don't have a clue what to do. They're scattered all across social media. And I guess I mentor and coach, but I meet with them on phone or Google Hangouts or Adobe Connect, and we just brainstorm. I get into their heads and find out where they are, what they're wanting to do, what their goals are. I challenge them to find out who their competition is, and I just work with them on strategies and social media and everything that we can to bring them to the point where they have a following.
Okay, that sounds pretty good. Now, and also understand that you have one of the largest Christian writers groups on Google+. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I don't know if it's one of the largest. It's a great group. I've kind of pared it back because in the beginning when we started the group, Google didn't allow us to control who became members. They could just join, and it was kind of crazy. When there was 100 people, it wasn't very difficult to find them because the only option I had of finding if a person joined the group was a change in the numbers. And then I had to go down through all the faces and figure out who that person was. Like I said, it wasn't so bad when there was 100. But when I got to 1,200, it was a nightmare. And finally, a few months ago, Google allowed us to require that potential members request membership. And at that point, I developed a registration form so that I could have a little bit of a chance to check out if they were truly a writer and not trying to exploit the community or anything like that. And eventually, I went to all the members and asked them to fill out the form, and I ended up with about 300. But they're very high-quality people, and the ones coming in are very quality, and there's a lot of good information available on that site. So we're just a community trying to help each other achieve our goals.
So let's talk a little bit about a Christian ministry as a writer. Let me ask this question. I have to back up for a little bit. Is writing a Christian ministry? Is my question to you, my first question.
Absolutely. I went to a dinner a few months ago for an organization that I was the past president and board member, and he is a Christian counselor, psychologist, worked for the state of Missouri in the penal institution, and he left there to go to a private rehab unit. And he told me that after he got there, he realized that he could not take he cannot take a Bible into the workplace. He could not use it for counseling. It just was taboo. But they allowed him to take in all the Christian literature that he wanted to. And when he told me that, a huge light went off in my mind, and I kind of had an aha moment. I said, that's it. That's what we're doing. We as Christians are getting the word out in our literature to a world that doesn't read the Bible or can't read the Bible or is not allowed to read the Bible. And then I really got excited about what I'm doing, because as I work with authors, I become a part of their ministry and help them accomplish the purpose that God has given them.
So one of the things that I'm curious about, so we've established that writing is a ministry for Christians. Talk to me a little bit about how a Christian better practices authorpreneurship as a writer. Do you have some tips for Christian writers to better practice authorpreneurship?
Yes, an entrepreneur is one who changes things, who comes up with ideas to make things better. A person that's creative and driven, and authorpreneurs should be the same. The only problem is, Sharon, that a lot of authors that I work with do not see their ministry as a business. They tell me that God gave them a book to write or more than one book to write, but they make no plans to promote the book. And the Bible tells me in Proverbs 16:9 that a person plans their way, but God directs their steps. And in Proverbs 19:21, we're told that in our hearts we have many ideas, but God's purpose will prevail. And when I ran across those two verses back in 1994, they changed my life, because I quit trying to figure out what God's will was, because that was it. I plan, He directs, I have ideas, His purpose prevails. And I try to pass that on to authors, that once you write a book, that's really kind of the easy part. What's difficult is getting the book into the hands of people who need to read it. And so they have to do the marketing. Even now we know with the changes in the publishing business that publishing companies do not take a risk on new authors. Very rarely do they. And they only work with the top 10% of their authors in marketing. So it's up to the author to do the marketing, the promoting, to build a brand. And that kind of goes against the grain, unfortunately, with some of the authors, because they feel like there's something wrong with that. And there isn't. The Apostle Paul traveled over the known world starting churches. He became very well known. He was even controversial, and they tried to kill him. But he branded his name so that the word could get out. And authors have to do the same thing.
Likewise. Great, great, great piece there, Tom. I'm going to have to talk with you a little bit more in another setting on the scriptural references that you just gave. I think it's worthy for another, I know it's worthy of another dialogue because it is extremely important for us to recognize as Christians our calling to the writing ministry. I've always said that the pen is very powerful. And if you are a practicing Christian, it's imperative, if you're called to the writing ministry, to write and to make sure that your message is out there, reaching the people that are in need of your message. So talk to me a little bit, Tom, about your definition of authorpreneurship.
Oh, let me think here. Authorpreneurship. Well, I've been an entrepreneur since 1973, except in volunteer work or specific Christian organizations. I don't know what it's like to work for anyone but the Lord. And I know that He's given me things to do, but like any missionary that God is called to go into a foreign country or home missions or whatever, He gave them the call, but He directs them into raising their own support. It's not an easy job being a missionary because they have to raise that support. They have to go to school. They have to learn languages. They have to be medically approved. It's a challenge to be a missionary. Pastors the same way. They have to go to school. They have to learn. They have to study the theology. They have to learn to speak. And authors can't be any different. They are motivated, creative people. But they, in my opinion, have to see beyond the call, in that God does give the call. It's important that we answer the call. But He kind of leaves it up to us to do the planning and doing what we need to do to fulfill it. He directs us. He opens doors, just like when He introduced you and I. I never thought I'd be on the radio talking to you. We were just two connections, and we developed a relationship. And that's what we have to do as entrepreneurs. We cannot be a jack of all trades and master of none. We have to know what we're doing. And it takes study, it takes research, it takes time, perseverance. And one of the things that I would tell people in the bus ministry, Sharon, that there's an acrostic the Lord gave me, that in order to be successful, you have to be willing, organized, reliable, and knowledgeable. And then there's one fifth item, and the first letter of each of those words spells work. And if we're not willing to work, it just isn't going to get done.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. After you finish your manuscript, the work really just begun. Writing the manuscript is the fun part.
It is.
Yeah, you have to roll those sleeves up, and you have to make, you really have to, you know, put your hand to the plow, not look back, you know, take a lessons learned approach and seek God's guidance so that you can continue to move forward and fulfill His plan for your life as a writer in ministry. So we've got about 5 minutes left, and I want my listening audience to hear any additional tips that you have for authors, aspiring authors, being a literary strategist. I'm sure you have some pearls of wisdom that you would like to share with them.
I'm thinking the two things that entrepreneurs have to have. The two attributes are courage and commitment. It takes a lot of courage to meet strangers, to develop a relationship, to put yourself out there on the internet, to look professional, to speak professionally, to do what's needed to do to make yourself known in the world. That's not an easy thing to do. It takes a lot of courage. The other thing it takes is commitment, and that's a no-quit, never-give-up attitude. If the Lord has called you to do something, he said on the cross, it is finished. Now, that might be controversial to say that applies to our ministries, but I believe if it's finished with the Lord and he lives in us, it's finished in us as well. We have to find out, though, what our part is in order to accomplish the ministry, the purpose that he's given us. I know that if a person never quits, never gives up, that they will succeed. Now, what level of success? That's up to the Lord. I don't know. It might be financial. It might not be financial. It might be reaching a church of 2 million people. I don't know. But I do know that if you don't quit, whatever God wants to happen will happen. And if you do quit, it just won't.
I agree. Thank you so much for those words of wisdom. I appreciate you. Now, if our listening audience would like to contact you, what's the best method to do so?
My phone number is area code 417-812-6110. My email is Tom, T-O-M, at tomblubaugh.net, B-L-U-B-A-U-G-H, Tom at tomblubaugh.net. And I also have a website, tomblubaugh.net. You can find me on LinkedIn. That's my favorite social media. I'm also on Google+, Twitter, Goodreads, Facebook. If you want to find me, just do a search, and I'll pop up.
Yes, he will. If you do a search, he will pop up. Well, I appreciate your spending this 30 minutes with me, Tom. As usual, you know I love you with all my heart, and I really believe in what you're doing, and again, I make a fresh commitment to support you in any way. Do you have any parting comments for our listening audience?
No, I think my brain is empty on this topic. I just want to tell you I appreciate you very much hosting the interview with me. I'm excited about what you're doing for entrepreneurs. I think that this is a great timing for what you're doing, and I look for great success for you.
Thank you very much, Tom. Well, listening audience, Tom Blubaugh, and he is a great strategist. If you are looking for a fail-proof plan to get your message to the masses, you want to make sure that you connect with him. Later on this evening at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, we will be doing a webinar with Dr. Letitia Wright, and she's going to be talking about crowdfunding for authors. So if you get a chance, go to iloveauthorpreneurs.com and register for this webinar this evening at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. Until then, happy writing. Thank you, Tom. Bye-bye.
Bye.